folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm going to do my best, dear-level best, to do the film from Elder Cedars today with discount gold and silver Americans. This is something that we have to sometimes do because Melody needs some time off once in a while, too. She deserves it. She really does. So financial survival will be in my hands today. I'll do the best I can. Of course, we have a guest today, as always, on Wednesday. We're going to go to Wendy Wilson in a few minutes with Apothecary Herbs. She has some very important information to share, folks, some things that you might want to consider if you have not had the vaccination yet, and I pray you haven't. You might want to consider information in a minute. So to save any time, I want Wendy to get on as soon as possible. Let's move on to the precious metals and markets very quickly here, all right? Gold was down a little bit today, about $4, $1,888.50. Silver was up 18 cents, $27.88. Well, silver has been doing very well the last few months. Platinum was down 12 at $11.53. Palladium was down 36 at $28.54. Rhodium was unchanged at 21.8. So this is good. I mean, I'm sorry, 19.8. Rhodium is doing very well. It's holding its own, and gold and silver are too, by the way. The Dow was down about 135 at 34.672. The NASDAQ was down a little over 10 points at 13.913. S&P down by 6 points, 42.21. Oil was down about 0.34% at 69.72, still knocking on the $70 a barrel rate. That's supposed to go to $80 a barrel pretty soon. But about, they said by about July or August, so we'll see. Japan was down 102 at 28.860. Hong Kong was down 38 at 28.742. London down 14 at 7,081. And Germany was down 59 at 15,581. So markets in Europe were pretty near flat, I guess you could say. And the Asian markets were pretty much the same, along with ours. It's not much change in that. And again, in gold and silver, it's still fluctuating around the gold near 1,900 an ounce, not too far from the record. And silver, of course, is still running about $28 an ounce. So this is really good reports for the metals and the markets that are holding steady. Now, our guest today for the next rest of this segment is Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. This young lady is a walking encyclopedia of knowledge on health, what herbs will do, what we need to look out for in different parts of our lives. And folks, I urge you to pay attention to what she has to say today, because what she's going to say, if you have not had the vaccine, you might want to consider having it, and she's going to tell you why. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing fine. Good to have you.
Well, thanks for having me
on.
We were talking off air about the vaccine. I personally wouldn't get it myself, but a lot of people are getting it. But I know you've touched on some of your other outlets about people feeling like they're magnetized after getting the vaccine. I think you've mentioned it.
Well, yeah, my sister-in-law is vaccinated, and she is magnetized. I promise she is.
Okay. Well, you actually can see videos too, Pastor Butch, people up on YouTube where they got the COVID vaccine, and now they swear, well, they think they've been microchipped. That's why because they can put a magnet on their arm where they got vaccinated and it stays there. But, that could be a possibility. You know, they could be chipped. But here's some research. This was out of the French National Center for Scientific Research, February 2019. And they were using, get this, magnetic nanoparticles in bioengineering. So what you have is synthetic lipid nanoparticles in your vaccine.
I don't want to interrupt you again. I'm sorry, but you said something here that's very important. Maybe a lot of people didn't catch it.
Bioengineering. Yeah, that's what this is.
Yes, it is. So, folks, listen to that word. That's a very powerful word. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what your nanoparticles are, they're synthetic lipids, and now they've actually magnetized them. So science has been using magnetic nanoparticles to highlight, let's say, biosynthesis of your cells and how they can be magnetized. So they seem to also focus on human stem cells with this regard. So according to all this research, when a cell is remagnetized, it's a sign of biosynthesis releasing new nanoparticles. The research was published in the February 2019 Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. It was published in the U.S. So it appears that science has picked up on the natural magnetism within the human cells and has blended it with their nanotechnology. Now, I read that. You know, because I worked in medicine, the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, so, you know, when you go to the hospital and you get an MRI, which is a, you know, an enhanced scan, X-ray, basically?
Yes.
It's, you know, you have X-rays, and then you have CT scans, and then you have MRI scans. And MRI stands for magnetic resonant imagery. You can't wear any jewelry when you go through that machine. So I'm thinking, okay, so if they've put in magnetic nanoparticles into people, what does that mean with regard to studies like that?
Ooh, good point.
So, you know, and what if you walk through the airport security? I don't know. It's just, we'll have to see, won't we?
The other thing
I wanted to mention is science is kind of divided on our human immune system's ability to deal with COVID on its own. There are a lot of reports circulating in the scientific community that the human immune system on its own is useless against COVID, the COVID virus, including the mutated versions, okay? So the variants, you hear them as variants. Now, much of the information is misinformation, and it tends to be generated by the FDA and the WHO. So then there are all these reports that tend to counter those positions, saying, hey, our immune system has a better antibody response to COVID without the vaccine and can also effectively handle mutated versions of the virus. And Merck Pharmaceutical confirmed that, and that's why they dropped out of their vaccine development program for COVID, is they found out in their control group people who got COVID naturally had a better antibody immune response than people who got the vaccine. So they kind of backed out of that. So here's some reports. And the FDA is actually, get this, Pastor Butch, the FDA has posted on their information, their website information, countering the myths. You'll like this, Pastor Butch. The myths about COVID virus and the COVID vaccine. They say that the vaccines are completely safe, and they say the following. The vaccine won't create infertility. It won't alter your DNA. The government won't mandate a vaccine. They say that's left to the states and employers. And they won't test, you won't test positive for COVID after you get vaccinated. And the vaccine won't give you COVID or make you sick. Well, it's interesting. That's interesting. COVID-19 vaccines, you know, are just a kind of a new era of vaccine development. And the FDA says this, COVID vaccines teach your immune system how to recognize and fight the virus that caused COVID. Sometimes this process can produce flu symptoms, and these symptoms are completely normal and are signs that your body is building protection against the virus that caused COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what the FDA is suggesting is your immune system has engaged the virus and is producing supposedly a fever to manufacture and launch antibodies, because your body's immune system doesn't create antibodies and use them unless you have a fever. And your fever has to be 101 or more. So the human immune system really doesn't make antibodies without the fever. So therefore, a vaccine gives you, let's say, the COVID virus. Now, remember they said it's attenuated, that it's a dead virus in the vaccine. It's not a live virus.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's interesting because your immune system doesn't fight dead things. It fights live things.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so your immune system doesn't engage a dead pathogen. So if the fever doesn't develop, there's no antibody protection. So the strange thing is, though, the FDA doesn't want people who get the vaccine or get vaccinated with COVID, they don't want them to go get an antibody test. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I wonder why.
Yeah, so you want to think about, you know, wouldn't they want to endorse you in order to prove, hey, the vaccine's working, you got antibody protection, but they don't want you to go get one. Therefore, the reason is your vaccine doesn't protect you, doesn't give you antibodies to establish that protection. So the FDA's position is suggesting that it wants people to believe that only vaccines can provide antibodies and that the human immune system on its own is incapable of protecting you, especially from COVID viruses, which is untrue.
Well, you know,
we're going to get to some new research here on that to prove it.
It's interesting to know, too, that the FDA, and I have this article on my desk here, the FDA has said that children between ages of 12 to 15 who get the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, that 84% of them have side effects, some mild, some severe, and some deaths. The FDA said that. Now, the FDA said they have side effects at 84% of those who get the vaccine. But now they're just saying that nobody has side effects? Somebody's lying.
Right. Well, here's a report. This came out March 2021 from the Scientific American, and they published some of the findings on the COVID variants that have so many people all scared. So the media is reporting that the variants are more lethal than the original COVID virus. And their report now is suggesting some traditional findings that your human immune system can adapt and defend you from COVID variants. And they call it microbe-host interaction. So our immune system cells remember a past infection and can adapt an antibody and attack this new similar variant of the virus. And the research did get published in the January 31st issue, 2021 Journal of Nature. Here is a quote from an immunologist, Michael Nossenwig. He's with Rockefeller University, immunologist. He says, "We think the human immune system has its own way of evolving. And this means the immune system is trying to get ahead of the virus. So the human immune system maintains a reserve of armies of antibodies producing cells in addition to your original cells that recognize and respond to a threat. Therefore, we feel the human immune system is very capable of a COVID defense," end of quote. And then also, this is from immunologist Marion Pepper, University of Washington. They said, "Your immune system is an elegant mechanism. It's very elegant." And they said that the human immune system has is able to handle the variant. So that's two confirmations there. So your antibodies have a memory store. And so your immune system remembers infections. It retains the immune system cells that are coded to those infections. They're called B cells. B as in baby. These cells remain constant in your immune system and circulate at lower levels like a security patrol. And you're going to find many of these B cells in your lymph nodes. Therefore, people who have had lymph nodes removed have hindered their immune system. So if the infection reappears, your B cells activate and release the antibody to kill the infection. And in most cases, a person never knows they were infected in the first place. Isn't that something?
That is something. You know, and obviously, the Creator that made us, the God Almighty that made us, knew how to make our immune system work. We clog it down. We bog it down. We mess it up with a lot of things we put in our bodies. And these vaccinations are probably one of the worst things we can do to destroy our immune system.
Well, like I said, I talked to Dr. Anthony Norris back in the 90s. He was the chief virologist of the FDA until he spoke the truth about the fake swine flu pandemic in 1976, at which he promptly got fired. But I spoke to him on the phone, lovely man, and he said vaccines are really an artificial infection. And I asked him, I said, well, does it build antibodies? He says, I've had access to 10 years, decades of research on raw data on vaccines, and I can tell you, it really doesn't give you an antibody defense. If you get any antibodies out of it at all, it doesn't last but a few months. I said, oh, is that why they have to give you booster shots? And he goes, no. I said, so what's the deal with booster shots? He says, well, they give you a little bit of the pathogen, or let's say toxin, a little bit at a time, because if they gave it to you all in one shot, he said it would kill you.
Oh, man.
And I said, okay. So I said, so what are the vaccines doing? So it was his ideology, his idea that he felt that the vaccines seed the body with disease so that the drug companies and the medical institutions, which are really all corporations, have an endless line of patients. Endless.
That makes sense. That makes pretty good sense.
Yeah, he says, vaccines are the most highly guarded secret in medicine. I'll never forget he said that. And he says there's over a billion, he told me then there's over a billion reasons why. And he meant money. He meant
money. Of course, money. And you know, they admit themselves, that the vaccine industry admits itself, they're putting poison in your body. They're putting poison in your body to develop your immune system. Come on now.
Well, Well, I know. Well, like you said, we've got some doctors speaking up. They've checked this out, the serum, what's going on. And the spike proteins were supposed to be some sort of immune system aid for the body to make antibodies from this. And what it's turned out to be is a highly toxic substance that's, you know, harming people. So they got it wrong. They totally got it wrong. So this, if this is a big experiment, people should wake up and see. The immune system's very sophisticated. They don't know everything about it. They're playing around with it, and they're undermining what God created. They definitely are. And I know Pastor, you know Pastor Ernie Sanders. He calls the COVID vaccine, he calls it the poisonous poke.
And he's right.
He's right. And so. I tell people, really, before this even came along, on all your vaccines, I said, do your homework, you know, because a lot of the information is not in the literature that you get at your pediatrician or doctor's office. I can give you an example. When my son was in elementary school, he kept being allergic to a lot of things. I mean, he could just look at poison ivy and get it. But he went and had some allergy tests. His dad wanted him to have it. And I'm sitting in the waiting room and I'm reading all this literature on their allergy tests. Now, this is, you know, your dermatologist office. And at the end of the break, your serum, which is, you know, it's a custom made less allergic to things. It says, when you get your serum, it says, stay at the doctor's office for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes, just in case you have a reaction, right?
Right.
And now at the time, I wasn't thinking like I am thinking now. Young mother, I didn't know what I know now. And so I asked the doctor, I said, what is a reaction? Are we talking about a rash? And this response should just tell you something. He wrinkled his nose and went, pfft. Rash. We're not worried about no rash. He says, we're talking anaphylactic shock and respiratory arrest. Anaphylactic shock and respiratory arrest from allergy shots, guys. Allergy shots. So if an allergy shot can do that, just imagine what your other vaccines can do.
You know, there's a lot more to talk about, Wendy, and I wish you had more time. I really do. I might have to interview you sometime on my program, because we know that this, especially the Pfizer vaccine, changes DNA. And why would they want to mess around somebody's DNA? And as Dr. Madej says, well, that means they can patent you, and literally they can own you then. And, you know, the whole world was destroyed all but one family because of polluted DNA in Noah's time. So these are things people don't think about. The whole earth was destroyed because the fallen angels had got with men and polluted the human DNA. God destroyed all creation because of that.
Wow.
Except for eight people. That's Bible.
Well, give us a call if you want a catalog. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Talk to you soon.
God bless, Wendy. Thanks.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, I am back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul, trying to do my best to fill in for Melody as best I can, and I can't do what she does. She's an expert, a lot more of an expert in what she does than I do. I'm just an old hillbilly preacher living in West Virginia, so I'll do the best I can. That's all I can do. And don't forget to give her a call, folks, at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. As you see things continue to increase in intensity at every area of our lives, folks, everything from finances to racial division to wars and rumors of wars, I think you might want to consider something for the future, at least financially, best you can, but not just for you or your wife or your husband, but your children. Consider them also. Even if they don't believe what's happening is happening, don't even listen to you, prepare for them anyway, because they're your children. Do your best to have something there for them when you leave this world. And we're all going to. Like you're a lumpet, folks, every day brings us closer to eternity and leaving this world. That's all there is to it. Let's get in some news headlines, if you don't mind. Nobody wants to work. Job openings soar to all-time high. 9.3 million as record numbers quit their job. In case you need more proof that the U.S. labor market is in a historic supply-demand mismatch crisis sparked by Biden's generous unemployment benefits, and folks, I'll stop for a second. Biden is not the one to do this. Biden was not the first one to do this. Let's not give it all to him. A few hours after the latest NFIB showed that it has never been more difficult for small business to fill job openings, moments ago the BLS confirmed that what we expected, that the numbers of job openings in March soared by a record 998,000 to 9.286 million in April from an upward revised 8.28 million in March, and the highest in the history of the U.S. jobs data. The highest in history, folks. Looking at the details, the increase in job openings was driven by a number of industries with the largest increases in accommodation and food services, 349,000. Other services, 115,000. And durable goods manufacturing, 78,000. Number of job openings decreased in educational services by 23,000. And mining and logging by 8,000. The number of job openings increased in all four regions. So, folks, this is amazing. It really is amazing. And I don't mean to make this sound nasty, but it is what it is. It proves one thing. If people don't have to work, they're not going to work. Most people do not have the work integrity that maybe I grew up with as my mom and dad and all the rest of them. They work because they want to provide for the family. Hand downs were unheard of back in the days that I was growing up. The best we had back then, I think, was Social Security and what we call commodities. You had free groceries giveaway sometimes if you're low income. But people as a whole, if they can stay home and watch TV or play on a computer, they'll do it. Why should they work if they don't have to? Think about that. This industry saw a 112% rise in job openings since the pandemic, and it's not leisure and hospitality. There are some 9.3 million job openings in the United States, according to the latest figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The economy shut down last year to curb the spread of coronavirus. The leisure and hospitality industry, which includes hotels, restaurants, and bars, took a gut-wrenching hit. Some 8.2 million people who worked in the sector were laid off or furloughed between February and April 2020, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now that most pandemic restrictions have been lifted, Americans are back to dining out and booking vacations, and business owners are looking to fill nearly 1.6 million openings, a 68% increase in openings compared to February 2020. Contrast that narrative with the manufacturing industry. Some 1.4 million people laid off or furloughed from February to April 2020, but as of last month, business owners were hiring for 851,000 positions, a record high for the industry, and a 112% increase in openings since last February. Manufacturer firms are desperate for workers, and they would take anybody in off the street and help them learn what they need to know to start. Carolyn Lee, who is in charge of workforce development for the National Association of Manufacturers, a trade association, told MarketWatch. Folks, they are desperate for people, and I know for a fact in our local area, especially fast foods and restaurants, are dying, really, really shutting doors. I say dying, I mean financially dying, because they can't find workers. They're shutting doors. They used to be open on certain days, and Sundays, well, let's face it, Sundays after church, a lot of people love going out to dinner. A lot of the restaurants in our area, Fran's Restaurant and Shoney's and others, are no longer open on Sunday. They can't find staff to work the restaurant. So this, again, simply because people are getting paid more to stay home. And as long as that happens, folks, why should they go to work? I'm not making some kind of sarcastic remark, but why should they? Why would they want to just sit home and go out and labor if they can make more at home and prosper better if they don't go to work? That's just the way it is. Now, this article will prove something that we've said many times. You have too, I'm sure. That any time wages increase, prices increase. Though we know that's just a given. In this article, though, the company that raised the wages admits that you're going to raise prices. They have no choice, folks. You cannot go from $10 an hour for your employees to $15 an hour without raising your prices to cover the differences. Companies are in business to make profit. That's the whole idea of running a company. Profit. And they're not going to voluntarily give away those profits and stay in business. That's impossible. It's not going to happen. So they're going to do their dead level best, at least maintain status quo. But if they're good business people, they will try to gain more profits. That's the idea, folks, of private enterprise, is it not? But Chipotle's hikes prices to cover the cost of raising wages. Chipotle Mexican Grill has hiked menu prices by roughly 4% to cover the cost of raising its workers' wages. Across the restaurant industry, chains such as Chipotle, Starbucks, and McDonald's have been increasing hourly pay for employees of company-owned locations in a bid to attract new workers and retain their current ones. Consumer demand has come roaring back for restaurant meals, but the workforce has been slower to return, pushing eateries to sweeten the deal. In May, the leisure and hospitality industries added 292,000 jobs, but employment in those fields is still down by 2.5 million compared with the pre-pandemic levels, according to the Department of Labor. In May, Chipotle said that it would raise hourly wages for restaurant workers to reach an average of $15 an hour by the end of June. Company executives said that at the Baird Global Consumer Technology and Service Conference that they would be passing along the price of raising pay to consumers. Whether it's food, gasoline, furniture, any kind of goods that you buy, when the cost of manufacturing and the cost of producing and the cost of paying the workers goes up, the consumer will foot the bill. They get it from private enterprise because private enterprise wants to make profit. They get it in the way of tax increases when governments are about ready to go belly up. What do? They don't cut back very little of it, if any at all. They raise taxes. That's what governments do, folks. Governments has a whole of parasites on a healthy body. And a parasite will bleed you empty. It will kill its host and maybe die itself. But it will do well until the host is bled dry. All governments, whether it be local or state or federal, are parasites on society. Some positions are needed, and they should be paid fairly. But a government has a tendency to reproduce itself through bureaucracy, and we all pay for that through our taxes. So government, as well as private enterprise, are going to do what they have to keep the bills paid and keep things going. That's just the way it is. But the difference between government and private enterprise is private enterprise produces. Government produces nothing. Let that sink in a minute. They may provide a service, but they produce nothing. That's kind of tough. That's the way it is. New GM pickups, SUVs, to be built without automatic stop-start feature during chip shortage. Now, I've heard about that. I'll just make this mention. I'd heard about it for the first time a couple weeks ago that these new cars, actually, when you stop a red light, the engine goes off. When you touch the accelerator, the engine turns on. I don't think I like that, but that's what they're doing on new cars. That feature is going to be given up because they can't find the chips to do this with the new automobiles. But I will say this also. The more computerized your automobile comes, the more complex it is and easy to be hacked and shut down. And the more expensive it becomes to get it fixed. Now, I know this from personal experience and I was in automotive parts sales for years, folks. That's what I did on the road. The old-time cars I grew up with the most complicated thing to work with when the car tuned up was a set of points, and y'all probably know what a set of points is any longer. But that was the most complicated thing maybe to put in a car to tune it up. You tune a car up from on the outside of the engine probably, and I know this for a fact, for $20 or less. You can do it yourself if you had any ability at all to use a screwdriver or a wrench. You didn't need to take it to a technician who had a $50,000 computer to tell you what's wrong with it. But that's all gone now. General Motors will start building some of its most profitable and in-demand 2021 full-size light-duty trucks and SUVs without the automatic stop-start feature because of global shortage in semiconductor chips. The automaker is also making upgrades to its full-size pickup plant near Fort Wayne, Indiana, to speed up final assembly of tens of thousands of incomplete pickups parked and awaiting chip parts. Imagine that. The whole truck's put together except it needs a computer chip. A little piece of plastic, silicone, whatever, and that's all it's keeping from running. What if that piece of plastic silicone blows up while you're going down the highway? What if it quits? GM is also looking to hire hundreds of temporary workers at plants in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Flint, Michigan, to help push out pickups. Since early this year, the auto industry has had to either idle assembly plants or build vehicles shy of all the parts and then park them to await the arrival of chips. The result is comparatively empty dealer lots and scramble to get as many vehicles built and shipped as possible when parts do arrive. Now, I know from personal experience, I've seen it in our area, that the new cars are not on the lot. They're lined up used cars now, trying to make it look like the lot's full. But new cars are not coming in. The chips, made mostly in Taiwan, are used in a variety of electronics. They're in tight supply after demand for them rose during the COVID-19 pandemic as people bought laptops and other personal electronics that also use them. The chips go into a variety of car parts. Starting Monday, certain full-size SUVs and pickups will not contain automatic stop-start, the feature that turns off the engine when the driver stops at an intersection and then automatically restarts it when the driver steps on the throttle. By taking this measure, it will enable us to continue production of our high-demand full-size SUV and pickups as the industry continues to rebound and strengthen, said GM spokesman Kevin Kelly. Most of the affected vehicles will experience a minor reduction in fuel economy, and consumers will receive a $50 credit on the MSRP for affected vehicles. So I guess it costs $50 extra for the chip. That's what I assume. But it's just amazing to me that I never thought I'd see a day that people would want a car to stop and start. at the intersection. And I suppose that's just something that we thought would maybe be a good idea for fuel economy. I don't know, but it just seems to me like it's more of a trouble than it's worth. And adds another benefit, I guess, here, or side, or some type of extra benefit that could go wrong on a car. Computers are not infallible, and your car you're driving today is a computer on wheels. That's just the way it is. Now, this is maybe good news. The Senate signs off on a $250 billion cash injection for the U.S. tech companies to help them compete with China and end the global semiconductor chip shortage. Democrats and Republican senators signed off on a bill on Tuesday that would pump about $250 billion into U.S. technology and science research. The bill, called the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, was introduced by Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer, Republican Senator Todd Young. It passed 68 votes to 32, but still has to pass the House. The bill includes $52 billion to encourage U.S. manufacturing of semiconductor chips, an effort to address a current global shortage that has hit supply chains in numerous industries. The bill is geared towards supercharging America's research sector so it can compete with China. I have watched China take advantage of us in ways legal and illegal over the years, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said, who pushed for the bill, told the Washington Post ahead of the passing. Folks, isn't it amazing that we can't put a complete automobile together in America without a part being shipped to us from Taiwan or China? Now, especially from China, who's an avowed enemy of the country. But why America becomes so dependent on foreign companies that we can't even put together complete an automobile without some kind of foreign help in some way? How do we get to the place in America where we have to rely on so many different industries around the world just to keep our economy running? A nation that cannot provide for itself is not an independent nation, no more than an individual who cannot provide for himself as an independent individual. That doesn't work that way. When you live off the state, you're a ward of the state. You have to live off other industries to keep your thing going. You're more or less a slave to the other industries, are you not? Let that sink in. And as we go along, we're going to see more shortcomings in our nation, especially economically, because this is starting to unravel before our eyes. I don't know what's going to happen next year or next month or any other time as far as exact details. But America's dollar is collapsing. Everything around us financially is collapsing. People don't seem to have any kind of work ethic. It's a hole any longer. So, again, I tell you, you need to call Melody up and ask her some questions. 800-375-4188. Ask her how you can help protect yourself and your children's future. At the break, we're going to discuss the fact that Lordstown Motors extends decline to 33% as electric vehicle maker warns it may go out of business. We thought they were just catching on, didn't we? Electric cars. Back out the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, let's get in the final segment, and I hope that I'm doing a halfway decent job for Melody. I really hope I'm doing a good job for her. But again, I just try to put common sense in what's happening. I really do. I mean, the Bible tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender. Well, you take that to maybe a different direction. If you run a company and you have to have things that you need to run your company, ship them to somebody else and they don't have them, you're depending on them, aren't you? These are things that we need to consider. I mean, America was once totally independent. Food production, automobile production, we did it ourselves. Clothing, everything. Not any longer. And my lifetime has changed, folks. I'm not 150 years old. My lifetime has changed. Back to the article about Lordstown. Lordstown Motors extends decline to 33% as electric vehicle maker warns it may go out of business. That's sad. Lordstown Motors shares extended their decline 33% after electric vehicle maker warned late Tuesday it's now owned cash and faces shutting its doors. Lordstown outlined its warnings to investors with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The company is still targeting limited production of the Endurance pickup truck in September. Shares of Lordstown Motors slumped Wednesday, deepening losses from the previous session as the electric vehicle maker said it doesn't have enough cash to start producing its Endurance truck and warned that it may have to shut down altogether. Lordstown outlined its warnings in a regulatory filing shortly before the trading closed on Tuesday. The company believes that our current level of cash and cash equivalents are not sufficient to fund commercial scale production and the launch of sales of such vehicles, it said in an amendment with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Lordstown is still aiming to begin limited production in late September of its Endurance pickup truck, which carried a base price at $52,500. Over $52,000 for a base price. I guess that should not shock me. I mean, I see the price of new cars and trucks. I mean, a used 2015 Dodge Ram I looked at here a couple months ago or so, 2015 was over $38,000. So it shouldn't shock me. And I'm not paying that kind of money for a pickup truck. I'm just not going to do it. And you say, well, you probably won't buy one. You're right. I have a 2010 Silverado that runs just fine. It's paid for, and I'll run it as long as I can. So, but this $52,000 for a base price for a pickup truck, that is quite a price, folks. It really is. It really, truly is. And now we're talking about cars, of course, so this will tie us into the gasoline price situation. Oil prices have went up tremendously, you know that, in the last few weeks. Oil climbs as Blinken says hundreds of sanctions on Iran to remain. After earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was somewhat pessimistically portrayed that it remains unclear whether Iran is actually willing to restore the nuclear deal, prompting angry words from Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, who again pointed out that it's only Washington not in compliance due to Trump-era sanctions, which the Biden White House refused to bury in order to make a renewed deal possible. Blinken's newest test statements are pouring more cold water on the recent speculation that prematurely hailed a Vienna agreement as imminent. During a Tuesday hearing before the U.S. Senate committee, the U.S. top diplomat was asked about his assessment of progress in Vienna, to which he frankly replied that hundreds of sanctions targeting Iran are likely to remain in place, even if Iran and the United States return to compliance. He said he would anticipate some sanctions remain in place, including ones imposed by the Trump administration, according to his words. If they are not inconsistent with the JCPOA, they will remain unless until Iran's behavior changes. U.S. up on Blinken's Tuesday comments, and with the Iran deal now looking more elusive, oil prices have continued to climb this week. After the start of the month, U.S. crude futures have reached the highest in over 2.5 years after the OPEC alliance for cash tightening global market, coupled with the increasingly cautious statements out of the U.S. negotiators in Vienna over reaching a deal. It was on Sunday that U.S. prices hit $70 a barrel for the first time in almost 3 years and have inched higher since almost amid predictions of $80 a barrel this summer. Oh, my, folks, $80 a barrel. That's going to probably adjust up to, I would say, pretty close, $4 a barrel a gallon for gasoline. I don't know all the detail on that. I'm not a financial expert on oil. But we know it's over $3 a gallon in most places now, over close to $5 in some places. So with this, whatever reason may be, prices keep going up again, the consumer pays. The consumer pays. It isn't necessarily the right thing or the fair thing, but that's the way it works. It just happens that way. And El Salvador becomes the first country to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender after passing a law. El Salvador has become the first country to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. Lawmakers in Central American countries, Congress voted by a supermajority in favor of the Bitcoin law, receiving 62 out of 84 of the legislature's votes. The price of Bitcoin is up 5% to $34,239.17 shortly after the vote. Earlier this Wednesday, President Nayib Bukele sent the law to Congress for a vote. The purpose of this law is to regulate Bitcoin as unrestricted legal tender with liberating power, unlimited in any transaction, and to any title the public or private natural or legal persons require carrying out. Wow. Prices can now be shown in Bitcoin. Tax contributions can be paid with the digital currency. And exchanges in Bitcoin will not be subject to capital gains tax. Well, whether you like Bitcoin or not, folks, looks like it's here to stay for a while anyway. It really does. It's actually worth less than your paper because it is not even paper. So whatever you think it may be or won't be, it really doesn't make any difference. It's here. And El Salvador is the first country to recognize Bitcoin as legal tender. That is quite a step, I guess, in favor or in the favor of Bitcoin. It's just something that I never thought would happen, but it has. Different topics. Let's move into the COVID mess again. That's still affecting a lot of people in a lot of places. And that's a lot of mess in this country as far as people not wanting to work because of COVID and the handouts because of COVID. The businesses, 4 million businesses have closed and permanently because of COVID. So, it's still affecting us, folks, worldwide. Houston hospital workers walk out over COVID vaccine mandate. Now, I do know that right now there are class action lawsuits being put together, just like you see for the drugs that they advertise on TV. Well, if this drug hurts you, you call this number. We're doing a class action lawsuit. You may have money coming to you. It's being organized right now for class action lawsuits against a lot of different manufacturers, Pfizer and others, but also businesses that are requiring employees to get vaccines are in line up for lawsuits, and who knows where it's going to lead. It says dozens of staff members at a Houston area hospital protested on Monday night against a policy that requires employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. The hospital, Houston Methodist, had told employees that they had to be vaccinated by Monday. Last month, 117 employees filed a lawsuit against the hospital over the vaccine policy. Now, folks, whether the hospital wins or loses the cases, it's going to spend how many hundreds of thousands of dollars just for a lawyer's fee to fight this? Who knows? While the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends health care workers get a flu shot, and some hospital systems require it, few American companies have required COVID-19 shots despite federal government guidance that says employers can mandate vaccines for on-site workers. Executives, lawyers, and consultants say that many companies remain hesitant because of a long list of legal considerations the EEOC Commission says must be followed before mandating vaccinations. Some companies say they are wary of extending mandates until the vaccines are received full approval by the Food and Drug Administration, which has so far granted emergency use of authorization. So what they're asking employees to do is to take an experimental vaccine, experimental jab, if you will. We don't have time getting all the side effects of this. Wendy did a good job in the first segment of the program of sharing some things that are really not good about the vaccine. I could share a lot more, but I don't have time doing this on this program. But these people are walking off the job, folks. That means that they're concerned, and they have every right to be. We should not, even if the vaccine is being approved by everybody in the country, FDA and everybody else, we should not be required to put something in our body that we don't want to. Listen, if a woman can have a murderous baby because it's her body, why should I let them put something in my body that I don't want? It's my body. Think about it. But in Nehemiah chapter 9, you'll find out because of people's sins, according to Nehemiah chapter 9, they have dominion over our bodies. Let that sink in, folks. This is fulfilling Bible prophecy. As we said and talked about today, this is fulfilling Bible prophecy. The economic side of it's going to be people out of work. They're not working. They quit. They don't get employment benefits. What's going to happen there? And the law of suits that may shut down businesses, including hospitals. Figure it out. I don't know. It's just something that we don't understand. And I don't understand enough about it to really speak on with any kind of cause. It's above my pay grade, so to speak. Go figure. Border surge sends prices soaring. Smugglers can earn $200,000 a year. That's out of the Washington Times. Wow. Victoria Perez spent 10 months as a migrant smuggler. When the agents finally caught up with her, she told them she had made $200,000 over that time, working 2 days a week, driving migrants through a Border Patrol highway checkpoint near El Paso, Texas. She charged $1,500 per person when the checkpoint was operating, but only $600 when the checkpoint was closed because the risk was low and the roads were wide open, she told agents. The $200,000 she earned from what was essentially part-time work exceeds the annual salary of a member of Congress. It works out to be three times the starting pay for a Border Patrol's agent. Perez was in essence, a gig worker, contracting herself as a driver for a much larger organization. Do you think we're going to stop it, folks, unless we put something on the border to stop it? You know we're not. They don't have the manpower to do that. I've always often wondered if this is supposed to be something that is hurting us, we know it is. Why do we have troops all over the world involved in places they shouldn't be? Why not bring them home and put them on the border? Would that make common sense? I guess it would. I would think it would. These things are just insanity in my mind, but that's what it is. And again, another direction, different situation, but just as much Bible prophecy as I just read to you. China-U.S. tension. State media reports amphibious landing drill after U.S. senators land on Taiwan. The Chinese military has conducted an amphibious landing exercise in the waters near Taiwan amid renewed tension between Beijing and Washington. According to the official WeChat account of the Eastern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army, its 72nd Group Army carried out naval training that included transporting amphibious vehicles, conducting an assault landing in an unspecified water south of Fujian province, which faces the self-ruled Taiwan island. A social media post on Tuesday came after a U.S. military transport aircraft landed in Taipei on Sunday, bringing U.S. senators and vaccine doses for the coronavirus hit island. Do you have any questions about the biggest topics and trends from the... Anyway, I'll just skip that paragraph. As part of the exercise, wheeled amphibious armored vehicles entered the dock of the amphibious landing ships, which then sailed to a target sea area where the vehicles left the ship and steered towards a beach, according to video footage released by the command. A separate report by the state broadcaster CCTV said on Monday that during the training, the 72nd Group Army explored the tactics of emergency land loading, long-distance support, or transport, and beach assault under complicated sea situations, and boosted the troops' amphibious combat support capabilities. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I would think that they're not just doing that for the fun of it. I think they're actually planning on maybe an invasion of Taiwan. I had no idea what the U.S. would do in a situation like that. We're way away from home over there, and in places we wouldn't have to, shouldn't have to be, or maybe shouldn't even be, but that's what it is. Kind of an interesting note here, too, with this article. Biden's press plane was about to head to Europe. Then brood X cicadas invaded the engines. Wow, that's amazing. The brood X cicadas that rose from the earth after 17 years underground have proved their determination to leave a mark before they die off in a few weeks. The shrill winged insects have driven tourism, inspired new food trends, and even caused a car crash in Ohio. On Tuesday night, the busy bugs claimed another surprising accomplishment, grounding the White House press corps as it headed to Europe for President Biden's first overseas trip in office. The White House press charter flying from Dulles to Europe ahead of President Biden had been delayed for hours due to mechanical issues caused by cicadas. Jonathan Lemire, a reporter for Associated Press, said it in a tweet late Tuesday. Yes, folks, cicadas. Reporters gathered at the Marriott Hotel near Dulles International Airport were told by a White House aide that the insects had flown into the engine, causing mechanical problems that required the airline to obtain a new plane and a new captain for the flight. The journalist ended up delayed more than 5 hours. I think that goes to show that we can't do everything we want to all the time. We're not the ones in charge here. Overall, folks, things can be delayed. And the God that created cicadas knew they could stop it. And they did. Again, give Melody a call at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Please excuse my frail attempt to do what she does. I did the best I could. But we'll all see you again Friday with Melody here. And tomorrow, I'm sure she'll be back with Dave Allen. Have a great night.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Dreams, I have a plan. If I got me, oh well.